Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
NBA Finals tonight. Who do you like and in how many games? 301-230-0980. Maybe the question also to add to that, with phone lines open at 301-230-0980, is are you going to watch? Does this interest you at all? I have a really strong sense that this interests the minority of listeners to this particular show and this station, and basically most sports talk stations around the country. This is not an anticipated NBA Finals matchup. Two small market teams. Look, I'm into it. I like the NBA playoffs. I don't like the NBA playoffs. I love the NBA playoffs. I've invested here over a month and a half, 2 months, whatever it's been at this point. I guess it's been about a month and a half of watching this, you know, every night and lots of afternoons on weekends. And I'm looking forward to the matchup. Definitely, as we went through the conference finals, I did not want to see the Knicks in the NBA Finals. This is a much more attractive matchup. The Pacers have a chance. They have a chance because they can really score. They got great shooters. They got great scorers. They play at a very fast pace. They have a chance to be competitive, but I just think Oklahoma City is one of the best defensive teams we've ever seen, one of the deepest teams we've seen in recent memory. And defensively, it's not just their starters. They essentially have 9 guys that whichever 5 of the 9 are on the floor, they can guard 1 through 5. They can guard all 5 positions, and they do it very effectively. 301-230-0980 for you guys that are thinking about watching the NBA playoffs. Who do you like and why? Or are you just not interested in these NBA playoffs? And you can explain why as well at 301-230-0980. I like OKC in 5 games. I think we'll have, you know, an Indiana win in this series. I think we'll have a couple of games that will be wildly entertaining. And when I say wildly entertaining, I'm talking about, you know, 138-136. I mean, we're going to see a game like that. But I also think we are going to see 117-103, 126-106 a few times with OKC on top. Max, who do you like?
It's tough. I really want to do the contrarian thing and bet the Pacers to win the finals because the value is pretty good, but so are the Thunder. The Thunder are, like, they're so deep, like you said. Defensively, they'll put you in hell. But the Pacers, like, it's interesting because guys have got to step up for them. Like, Nesmith, like he did last series, he hit 53% of his threes. Like, he needs to continue that, however unlikely that may be. Haliburton needs to kind of respond to how he performed in the Knicks series. It's just going to be the Thunder in five or six. I think the Pacers will steal at least one. They could steal two, but yeah, I don't see it going past six games, much like you.
The Thunder tonight are 9.5-point favorites in game one. It's the second largest game one spread in the NBA Finals since the Lakers and Sixers in 2001. By the way, in that particular game, Allen Iverson went for 41, I think it was, and the Sixers shocked the Lakers in game one as a big underdog. So we'll see. The Thunder at 9.5-point favorites in game one and massive favorites in this series. As I've mentioned, this is, you know, odds maker wise, this is a potential beatdown in the making. The 2001 76ers were the biggest underdog in NBA Finals history, at least since 1980. And then you had the Cavs in 2018, the Sonics in 96, the Knicks in 99, and then the Pacers this year in 2025. So big underdog are the Pacers, big favorite are the Thunder. And yeah, going to be a hard, hard challenge. By the way, I wanted to talk real quickly because I did catch this. I didn't watch this start to finish last night. I think a lot of, you know, hockey fans in this market are Caps fans primarily. I know some of you are into the NHL playoffs once they end. But how about game one last night in Edmonton?
Cinema.
The crowd was incredible. The game was incredible. It went to overtime last night. Draisaitl, the guy that didn't he lead the league in goals during the regular season? He may lead the playoffs in goals, gets the overtime winner. Do you have that call?
Of course I have the call. Here,
let me hear it.
Let's take a listen.
Now to Nugent Hopkins. Kicks it back to Bouchard. Back to Nugent Hopkins. McDavid.
That was off of a pass from Connor McDavid, who is really, really special. I'm not a hockey guy, but I notice number 97 on the ice. He looks different than everybody else does. You know, I did not watch it start to finish, but I did watch probably half of the game. And like was the case in the series against Carolina in the Eastern Conference Finals, I found myself thinking and watching the game, and I'm looking through kind of the final stats of this game. I'm assuming you watched it, Max, start to finish. I really felt like when I was watching it, Florida had that ice tilted a lot of the time. Yeah. Am I right about that or not?
You're absolutely right. They were keeping the pressure on Skinner for a good bit of it, and that's the thing about the Oilers is that they can just flip it on you like that, like so quickly, and once they establish and kind of find their zone and find their game, they're a very hard team to stop. So that it's going to be a great series. I'm very excited to see how many games it goes. And overtime winner game one, that's a great start.
Do we go, by the way, back and forth? We don't have any of these nights where you get the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals on the same night.
I hope not. It should be every other night. I'm going to quickly verify that on the Real app.
The NHL, I'm looking at right now, they play game two Friday night, and then they don't play again until Monday. They don't play on Saturday or Sunday. The NBA goes game one tonight, and then game two Sunday night back, you know, still in OKC. And then you go Wednesday night in Indiana, Friday night in Indiana. And then, remember, we're not in the 2-3-2 anymore in the NBA Finals. It's been a few years since we've been 2-3-2. It's 2-2-1-1-1. In the NHL Finals, it's 2-3-2, right?
No, it's 2-2-1-1-1.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, man. Think about the Stanley Cup Finals, Florida and Edmonton. I know it's year two for them. And in the NBA Finals, Pacers and Thunder, OKC and Indianapolis. I know that the Florida Panthers are in South Florida. Big market, obviously. But still, we don't have marquee of anything in June of 2025. But, you know, should be competitive in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. All right, when we come back, I think, you know, you guys remember Mike North, who jumped on with us before the schedule came out. We talked to him about the whole process, about how this year would be different in putting together Washington's schedule. So a week and a half ago, I had him, you know, right before I took some time off, I had him on the podcast, and I wanted you guys to hear it on the radio show. He's so good at explaining how it was put together. You're going to hear him go through the challenges that they had in putting the Washington schedule together. He's going to tell you the game that was on the schedule for Washington's opener for a long period of time until it got swapped out for the Giants on opening day. You'll hear a lot of what went into the NFL schedule and specific to the putting together of Washington's schedule with schedule maker Mike North when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Joining me right now, and I promised that I would try to make this happen after he came on with us in mid-April, about a month before the schedule came out. You guys really enjoyed Mike North and the conversation we had that day, and he's kind enough to come back now that the schedule is official. Mike North, the vice president of NFL broadcast planning and scheduling. He's been doing this for three decades, is one of the key people involved in putting together the NFL schedule. And when you came on with me in mid-April, you said, look, there are 272 of these assets, and every year there are like 10 to 20 that are obviously going to be sought after. And that for the first time in a long time, Washington was actually going to be a participant in some of those 10 to 20 high exposure spots. So that's where I want to start. I mean, you weren't lying. Five prime times, three standalones, which include Madrid Christmas Day in week 16 on a Saturday. Some of their 425 games look like, you know, to much of the country games as well. Mike, what were some of the, you know, big memorable decisions, discussions around Washington's schedule that you can share with us?
Yeah, good to talk to you again, Kev. Look, the truth is we kind of knew, like we said, a month or so ago that we were going to be leaning into the Commanders maybe a little bit more than we had in recent years. Part of it, obviously, just due to the schedule, right? All the NFC East games matter. Throw out the records. Those division games mean something. We're crossing over this year into, you know, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. Those are all interesting. And then obviously crossing over into the NFC West and picking up three playoff teams out there, Denver, Chargers, Kansas City. So a lot of good inventory to choose from. A lot more mouths to feed. I'm sure we talked about this a month ago. Just so many more national windows, so many more standalone games than we've ever had. So you're probably leaning in, you know, maybe one or two more for everybody. And, you know, at the top end, there's only so many games you can put, you know, Dallas, Kansas City, and Green Bay in big windows. And at the bottom end, you know there's some teams that are still kind of either playing their way back into form, back into prime time, rebuilding, drafting at the top of the draft, whatever. So you kind of look at that kind of middle tier, and you look at a Washington, a Chicago, a Minnesota, a Seattle, a Baltimore. Those are the teams that are going to be well represented, maybe one or two more than most people thought, but product of both the record from last year, the deep playoff run to the championship game, and again, obviously, the schedule, the opponents really helped dictate the choices we made.
All right, let me ask you about a couple of the decisions. When we talked back in mid-April, you thought Washington would get significant consideration for kickoff. Why Dallas and not, you know, Washington or the Rams or a couple of the other teams that Philly had on the schedule? Why not Washington for the opener?
Could have gone with any of the Eagles' home opponents, really. Right. Like you said, Rams, Denver would have been interesting, Chicago, Detroit, obviously Washington. You know, there was one school of thought that, you know, the last time we saw Washington and Philly play each other wasn't really that close. But, you know, you add Debo, you make some moves in the offseason. It's a different team. It's a different game. Absolutely considered Washington for kickoff. It really came down to, you know, we probably haven't gotten maximum use, maximum value out of the two Dallas-Philly games the last couple of years. You remember last year we had one of them in December in a standalone window on Fox at 425. We ended up flexing it back to 1 o'clock. Like, that Dallas-Philly series, those two games are usually top five, top six, top eight every year, and we just really haven't gotten maximum value out of them. So nobody knows what the Cowboys are going to be. Obviously, see if Dak can stay healthy, new coach. But certainly one of those Dallas-Philly games, get it in early, get it in the bank, get a maximum fan value, if you will, out of it, and you just know the Eagles fans are going to love unfurling a banner in front of the Cowboys. So put that one in nice and early, and that lets you save the other Philly-Washington games. You hinted one of them is in Week 16, standalone national window on that Saturday, that third Saturday in December where the NFL's been playing for decades. So a couple of good division games there in Philly-Wash and Green Bay-Chi. And then we saved Philly Wash, the other end, for Week 18. We kind of got in a rut here these last few years where it was just Dallas, Washington, and Philly Giants over and over and over again. So good to mix that up a little bit, too. So knowing one of the Philly Washingtons was going to be in Week 18, the other one should be on Fox, so probably couldn't be the kickoff game. So round and around we go. All these decisions are intertwined, and they all kind of impact each other. And that's really how, I don't want to say we backed into Dallas-Philly because we liked it, but we looked at all the other options. This one felt like the right move.
You know, I'm going to go to the end of the schedule quickly because you just brought it up. That was the one thing that I was curious about because I just thought that these Week 18 matchups, there is risk there, right? That the game may not be meaningful for both teams. And I just thought that the Philadelphia-Washington, both of those games, you'd want to lock both of them in as less risk, high reward on the matchup being a massive matchup.
Yeah, look, I'd make the same argument for both ends of the Dallas-Washington series,
sure,
too, right?
So, yep.
You know, and somebody's going to play, you know, Washington in Week 18. If it's the Giants, then you're talking about Philly-Dallas as the other NFC East game,
right,
in Week 18. And like we said, I'm not sure that's the best use of that. So most of this really had to do with the last couple of years. I think it's been 3 years in a row that we've played Dallas-Washington in
it
Week 18.
It was, three in a row, yep.
And those are kind of the games we remember. And if somebody really is playing for something, there's a division title on the line, there's a playoff spot on the line, we probably ought to have a little bit of variety in Week 18. So figured it was time to kind of mix those up a little bit. That kind of pushed us into Dallas Giants and Washington Philly. And that way you get both ends of Dallas Washington in other television windows. So round and around we go. Hopefully all the NFC East games are going to matter this year. And, you know, like you said, the one Dallas Washington game's up a Fox doubleheader in October and the other one's on Christmas. So we're counting on that series to mean something too.
Yeah, no, that made sense. And it's kind of the way I explained it. It kind of put more emphasis on, look, the two Dallas-Philly properties and what you just added to it, one of those games getting flexed out of a big window last year, that it just ended up being a little bit more of a priority than the second Philly-Washington game. We're playing division games in Week 18, and if it wasn't going to be Dallas, it had to be the Giants or Philly, and if it were the Giants, that meant Philly was playing Dallas. That makes sense. But you agree, right, that Week 18 is always a risk, that
No doubt. The
games, you know, may not mean that much.
Well, you can see how much we're thinking about it with all the talk coming out of Minneapolis last week with the playoff reseeding idea. It's not even just about who's hosting wild card and divisional round games. It's about how we ensure that the week 16, 17, 18 games are meaningful. What did we have last year? 8 or 9 teams resting starters or at least resting quarterbacks,
yeah,
going into that final weekend of the season? That's probably not good for the league, not good for the product. So, yeah, your point is well taken. You want games in week 18 that are going to matter, but you don't want to run the risk of taking one of your really premium assets and by the time you get there, it's no longer relevant and you kind of wasted it. So
right,
you usually don't see our biggest divisional matchups in Week 18, kind of like you were hinting. If you want to get both Dallas-Washington and both Dallas-Phillies in earlier in the year, well, that only leaves Dallas-Giants for Week 18, and with that obviously comes Philly-Wash.
How much did Washington get in terms of conversation about a primetime spot in Week 1, either Sunday night or Monday night?
A lot. There's a couple of factors at play there. One of them, obviously, you know, in the mix for kickoff, like we talked about. The other one is, you know, what we're asking of our friends from NBC that opening weekend. We know they're going to be in Philadelphia on Thursday, and they've got to get to a game 3 days later on Sunday. I'm not sure they can hustle out and get to San Francisco or Los Angeles or Seattle. So there's a limited range of how far they can get their production trucks on a weekend where they have two games. Same thing you see on Thanksgiving. That's part of the reason why Washington's hosting Sunday night at Thanksgiving, because we ended up Thursday night in Baltimore.
Right.
Pretty sure they can get the trucks from Baltimore to Washington. We definitely talked about getting the trucks from Philly on Thursday to Washington on Sunday night. We absolutely looked at it for Monday night. There was it Chicago? I think it might have been Chicago. I think it was Chicago, Washington that we saw for a long time on Monday Night Football in Week 1, and that would have been really fun with the two young quarterbacks and all the off-season storylines there. As it spun around and around and around, we ended up with, you know, saving. Oh, I'll tell you what was probably the bigger impact. It's Week 2, right? If we're going to do Washington Green Bay on Thursday night of Week 2 and use that as our Amazon opener,
right,
you probably can't then use the Commanders on Sunday night or Monday night of,
right,
Week 1 and shorten an already short week. So
yep,
once we started seeing Washington Green Bay, getting our friends from Amazon a chance to go to Lambeau, which they love, and look, everybody else gets a Week 1 game, right? Amazon has to wait until Week 2 before they finally get to join the party. So you know they always want a big one. They're going to be pointing to it for the next 5 months. Having that Washington Green Bay there in Week 2 felt really good for Amazon, and it probably ended up costing us a Sunday night or a Monday night slot for Washington in week one.
Real quickly on Thursday night football, wasn't there a rule there for a few years that every team had to play at least one short week game, even if it was a Thanksgiving Day game? And I think there are three teams that don't play on Thursday this year.
There was a rule. It wasn't even that every team had to play a short week game. It was actually the rule was no team could play more than one. And so as we were building out between Thanksgiving and Christmas and an expanded Amazon package now that includes Black Friday and Thursdays all year long, we kind of ran out of games. We ran out of team appearances. So we had to pass a rule. Ownership voted and passed a rule that said, okay, a few teams a year could play more than one short week Thursday. Once you had the opportunity to put a couple of teams on the Thursday package more than once, that did open up the opportunity, if we wanted, to leave a couple of teams off. And the commissioner always talks about this, like our version of relegation. Like, you got to play your way into these primetime windows. So
yeah,
we no longer have a rule that everybody gets a primetime game. And you can make a case that, you know, while some teams are playing multiple short week games, you know, the teams that are drafting near the top of the draft, they're not playing any short week Thursday games. That might actually help them. And it kind of is consistent with how we do things around here when you draft in reverse order and the you know, the worst records get the best free agent pickups. And same thing here, you know, the teams that didn't really perform the way they had hoped to last year probably don't end up being represented multiple times on the primetime schedule short weeks. So yeah, I think there's actually six teams that don't have a short week at all this year. So
wow,
those six have the luxury of, you know, the routine every week, Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, while the others, you know, one of the benefits or challenges of success on the field means a pretty non-routine, non-usual schedule the next year. And that's what you're seeing with a team like Washington now.
I mean, Pete Rozelle wanted so much for it to be a league of parity. And it is a league that changes incredibly, not just year to year, but week to week almost. But at the same time, and I always point this out, we probably just had one of the top two dynasties with the Patriots of all time, and it was back-to-back, sort of two separate iterations of the dynasty.
It's remarkable, really, when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Everything we do in this league is
designed for that not to happen.
Yeah. Right? And they had a 20-year run. It was pretty remarkable, no doubt.
Well, you know, I used to, in talking about our own team here during those dismal 24 years of Dan Snyder, I would say the league is designed for a team like ours that is even horrendously owned to occasionally have like an 11-5 or 12-4 season. But even Washington couldn't accomplish that, even though the system is designed for it. All right, what about Brazil? Was Washington, you know, I remember talking to you in mid-April, and it sounded like Washington was much more of a possibility for kickoff than for Brazil. Why not Brazil and the Chargers?
It was interesting, actually, when you talk to the Chargers, they knew they were going to Brazil, and there's always this kind of give and take back and forth between the teams and the league office as to which one of our home opponents this year kind of makes sense for us to use internationally. And the Chargers were really focused on the fact that, you know, Washington goes out to L.A. to play the Chargers, you know, once every 8 years, really. I mean, depending on how the rotation goes with the standings-based game. I mean, you're talking about once every 8 years. So for Commanders fans in Southern California, I think the Chargers were pretty sensitive about taking that game away from them. And, like, to your point, that fan base has been maybe a little dormant for a few years. Like, now they're relevant again, and they care. And I think the Chargers were thinking about the Southern California Commanders fans. If they miss a chance to see Washington this year, if they miss a chance to see Minnesota this year, then they may not see them again for 8 years. Whereas if it's the Chiefs, well, you saw them last year, you'll see them next year. They come to SoFi every year. So I think on the one hand, from a, you know, fan friendliness, you know, ticket selling standpoint, that was one thing the Chargers were thinking about. I think the other thing was, you know, Washington coming to SoFi, pretty long trip. Right, so they're already going to be making a long trip out to SoFi. Why play a team that's going to have to travel all the way to California and you both end up with a long trip? I think the Chargers are probably thinking more along the lines of, hey, look, if we've got to go, whatever it is, 10 hours in the air to go play in Brazil, maybe it wouldn't be so bad if one of our division opponents had that same set of challenges this year. So I think there was a little bit of ticketing and fan friendliness and revenue, but also I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, what's happening on the field. believe the Chargers think they're going to be competing for a Super Bowl this year. So if you put a little extra wrinkle in the Chiefs' schedule, well, I'm sure the Chargers wouldn't be too disappointed with that.
That's interesting because just the whole idea, I think we all as NFL fans know the Chargers are not necessarily that popular in LA, and they end up almost, you know, in a neutral, you know, stadium environment. It sometimes almost feel like a road team at home. But when you get a team like Washington that hasn't been out there with a rejuvenated fan base, you can fill it up with a lot of the opponent's fans. Look, that's what Snyder, you know, eventually had to count on, was the opponent's fans to fill up FedEx Field.
Yeah, I remember a Monday night game against the Steelers and just an awful lot of black and gold in there. It happens, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the first in what we called the FedEx takeovers. So you had mentioned to me and sort of had implied that it was maybe a Madrid and Christmas or just Thanksgiving, no Madrid, no Christmas. So you ended up with Washington and Madrid against Miami, and on Christmas, no Thanksgiving. So how close of a call was it between those two, you know, scenarios?
The Thanksgiving and Christmas are actually intertwined in the sense, like we said, you can't play more than two short weeks in a season. And both obviously Thanksgiving and Christmas falling on a Thursday this year. If you're playing one of those, you're not playing the other one because you got to get on Amazon somewhere. A team like Washington made the playoffs, went to the NFC Championship game. You know Amazon's looking for a Washington appearance, if not two. So you knew they were going to be on Amazon somewhere on a short week Thursday. Like we said, it ended up being the opener up in Lambeau. So they were only going to be Thanksgiving or Christmas for their second short week Thursday. So those were a little intertwined. The Thanksgiving actually wasn't really decided until kind of late in the process when we decided to go with KC Dallas. We've got such a good mix of the 272 this year, so much quality, so much depth, just the way the divisions rotate through each other, that you could afford to take a game like Kansas City-Dallas, arguably the number one game of the year, and put it in a window where we normally wouldn't go that big. I mean, you remember Washington into Dallas a couple of years ago, Giants into Dallas, I think two of the last 3 years. Those are still doing 40, 41, 42 million viewers. We know where the floor is for Thanksgiving. I'm not sure we've ever really tested the ceiling. So Kansas City-Dallas is going to test the ceiling. If everybody's healthy and both teams are relevant, you could be talking about 48, 49, 50 million people watching a regular season NFL game. That's incredible and something that I think everybody's pretty excited about. So that sort of took Thanksgiving off the table a little bit. We kicked around Black Friday, though. That was certainly an option. But like we said, we ended up using Washington that weekend for NBC so they can do Baltimore and Washington, have a nice little easy doubleheader for themselves. And that enabled then that second short week for Christmas. And what do any of us know? Week 17, who's playing for what? So you see Christmas, all division games. One way or another, those division games are going to matter. And that's going to be, hopefully, you know, the greatest streaming day ever. Two games on Netflix and one on Amazon that night. They all had to be comparable. They all had to be good. And they all had to be relevant. Who knows? We got pretty lucky last year picking our four teams playing that Saturday to Wednesday Christmas round robin. Everybody was relevant. Everybody was healthy. Everybody made the playoffs. I hope our crystal ball is clear again. But one way to ensure the games are going to matter one way or another, make them division games.
I guess that Dallas, Detroit, and Kansas City are both on Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's why Dallas and Detroit play on Amazon a week after Thanksgiving, right?
You got it.
And then Kansas City, what, plays the Amazon game on Christmas night?
You got it.
Okay.
So everybody gets a taste, right? It's just doling out. If you're Amazon and you're telling me, all right, I'm getting Kansas City late in the year, boy, I hope they're still relevant. I hope they haven't clinched. I hope Mahomes is healthy. I'm getting my one Dallas and my one Detroit in week 14, that week right after Thanksgiving. That's also in December. Like, that's an awful lot of really big brands that I don't get to see if I'm Amazon until after Thanksgiving. All the more reason then to put a Washington Green Bay in early, to put a Philly Giants in early, to put a Pittsburgh Cincy in early, try to make sure that they've got depth and quality throughout their entire schedule and not just backloaded with their biggest brands.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, more with Mike North, including whether or not he has any regrets about how the schedule turned out. We'll get to that and more after these words from a few of our sponsors.
All right, the Baltimore Ravens have signed Rashad Bateman to a contract extension that is worth 3 years, $36.75 million contract that includes $20 million in guarantees. Ravens GM Eric DaCosta also said that they're in the introductory stages of an extension for 2023 MVP Lamar Jackson. The Pittsburgh Penguins have hired Rangers assistant coach Dan Muse as their next head coach. This hire follows rumors that Caps assistant coach Mitch Love was a top candidate for the job. In the NHL last night, the Oilers, they closed out the Panthers in an overtime thriller. They win 4-3. Leon Draisaitl skates it off with the overtime winner with a pass coming from Connor McDavid. The Nats, they shut out the Cubs by a score of 2-0. Mackenzie Gore, with 7 innings pitched and 7 strikeouts, he only gave up 3 hits and no earned runs. They'll continue their series tonight. Jake Irvin expected to take the bump. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
We continue with Mike North, VP of Broadcast Planning and Scheduling for the NFL. Mike has been involved in putting the NFL schedule together for 3 decades. So one of the things that I was surprised at, and the only reason I was surprised at it, last year, because of the Wednesday Christmas games, you guys had to play Saturday. And there was a comment, and I forget from who it came, but it was, we don't want to go up against college football's first round in the, you know, the triple header that they have, but we have no choice this year because we can't go Sunday to Wednesday. And yet this year, Christmas is on a Thursday, and you're going to play two games on Saturday. So I guess college football's big day of that first round with home fields, et cetera, triple header, the NFL at this point, they've taken over Black Friday. They've got a Friday in September, and the playoff just doesn't play into your scheduling process.
It does. I mean, we're friends. We're cooperate. We've been met with General Clark and the CFP folks multiple times. We're pretty good to them. You know, they play a lot of their bowl games and a lot of their championship games in our buildings, whether it's in Atlanta or Miami or Indianapolis or Los Angeles or Las Vegas. So we end up accommodating a lot of what they're trying to do. We obviously support everything that they're doing. Anybody watching football, investing in football, putting football on television is good for us all. So we are definitely friends. We are definitely working together on all this. The interesting thing for those guys is, you know, I'm not sure where they're going with their playoffs. They keep talking about maybe even expanding it beyond whatever they were at, 12. If they go to 16 or something, they might need even another week for their playoffs. And I'm not sure how many more weekends they really have. You know, the NFL, like you hinted at, stays out of the first couple Saturdays in September and stays all the way through the first couple Saturdays in December. But that third Saturday in December, that's an NFL day. I mean, we've been playing there something like 37 of the last 40 years. Like, that's an NFL day. And, yeah, look, it was a great day last year when you had the two NFL games and the three college football first-round games. There were an awful lot of people with an awful lot of choice. And, you know, everybody did just fine. And the fans will vote with their remotes, and they'll tell us what they care about. And certainly the fact that, you know, the two NFL games that day did pretty good viewership numbers certainly enticed Fox to come up with their hand up and volunteer for a doubleheader that day. And, yeah, there's a couple of good NFL contests in there, and the college guys can do whatever they think is best. They don't have to play one Friday and three Saturday. They could play two Friday and two Saturday, and we all can kind of, you know, overlap each other so that fans can watch the games they want to watch. But it wasn't really a thought of, hey, how do we compete with college football? It was really more along the lines of, hey, that third Saturday in December is an NFL day. We've been there forever. We'll be there again.
Speaking of the Saturday, you know, after Christmas, and you guys have done this now for several years, where you take five games and that three of them are going to be flexed into that Saturday spot. Will that Saturday, December 27th, will it be a triple header?
It'll only be two, actually. Only be two. We need seven NFL Network games, and this year, because of all the extra international games, they're going to take six of the 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning games, so they only need one late season Saturday. So that's Saturday, December 27th, only two games, one on NFL Network, 4:30 in the afternoon, and one on Peacock that night at 8 o'clock. So those five games listed as TBD, two of them to Saturday, the other three most likely back to Sunday. But TBD means TBD. They could go to Thursday night, they could go to Sunday night, they could go to Monday night. You remember Washington was in the TBD pool two of the last 3 years
they were,
and found their way over to Sunday Night Football. So just shows what any of us know here 8 months out. As the games matter more, we'll put them in bigger television windows.
Yeah, I was just curious in terms of the five games that you hold back. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. You got Baltimore, Green Bay. That looks attractive now. But if it's really attractive, does that get held by CBS or by Fox or, you know, going into that weekend?
No, that's the reason it's put in that TBD pool.
For Saturday.
It's unprotectable.
Yeah.
So it's all five of those are in the TBD pool.
No,
we'll find a good one for NFL Network. We'll find a good one for Peacock. The other three most likely come back to Sunday, and then we'll figure out who's playing for what, who needs what, CBS and Fox, 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. We got a pretty good doubleheader game sitting there in Philly, Buffalo. So I think we're going to be all right on Sunday afternoon, but that's the beauty of the TBD pool. None of those can be protected by CBS and Fox. They are all truly TBD.
Yeah, I guess what I was trying to get at is that Saturday doubleheader window attractive for you guys?
Well,
is it a bigger spot than the Sunday spot because they're standalone or not?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, okay. Standalone Saturday window, you know, an NFL Network game in that time slot gets 10 or 11 million viewers. We're going to be playing on Peacock that Saturday night. And look, if it is a game like Baltimore, Green Bay, and both teams are strong and healthy and playing for something, I think we're talking about, you know, 15 million people watching. You're probably not going to get that many eyeballs on your game on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Right.
There's other games going on. We're distributing them across the whole country. So
sure.
If these games are worthy of national television, here's a couple of Saturday slots where we can put them in. And if they, like you said, get really big and really need to be in a bigger window, you can always move them to Sunday night like we've done with Washington the last couple or two of the last 3 years.
I had a question with respect to the international games, the Vikings back-to-back weeks against Pittsburgh and Dublin and then Cleveland in the UK the following week. Is it a disadvantage for them to be there 2 weeks, or is it more of an advantage that they have two less road games, true road games, than the rest of the conference? I mean, some have one less road game because they're also playing internationally. But where's the rub there? Is it tough to be there for 2 weeks, or is it absolutely a plus for them that they're having two true road games played on in neutral locations?
Yeah, we would not have done this without their cooperation, we wouldn't have done it over their objection. When we reached out to them, you know, they can see the schedule. They knew they were visiting Pittsburgh this year, and they knew Pittsburgh was hosting a game in Dublin, so they were a candidate for that. Same thing with Cleveland. They knew they had to go to Cleveland. They knew Cleveland was hosting a London game, so they were a candidate for that. And it was actually Commissioner Goodell who said, you know, do you think they would do both, just go over and stay? To which I said, absolutely not, no chance. But I called them, I asked them, and they went from, you know, intrigued to open-minded to willing and all the way to eager. And I'm sure, kind of like you're hinting at, take what could have been road games in Pittsburgh and Cleveland in December in the snow and the cold and a hostile environment, and now you turn them both into neutral sites, get them over with, get them in early, get a little bonding trip for your team. They can spend the week over there in the UK. They've got marketing rights over there. You probably remember last year's London game. I think it was Jets-Vikings.
Yeah.
That building was 70% purple.
Right.
Most of the London games are like a rainbow, a kaleidoscope, you know, people just wearing NFL jerseys, but there's Viking fans over there. So when the whole building's purple, I'm sure it made the Vikings think, what could we do if we spent a whole week over there, if we practiced, if we marketed, if we trained, if we had some events, some meet and greets, and yes, get two of our road, cold weather, hostile environment road games out of the way, done with them by week five, not have them hanging over your head anymore. I'm sure there was a little bit of marketing, but also a little bit of competitive in their minds.
We also have a Rooney who was the ambassador to Ireland, so who knows how that will shake out Steeler fans-wise in Dublin. But you mentioned it already, but I would have to imagine that Chiefs-Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day has a chance to be an all-timer in terms of eyeballs.
Certainly what we're thinking about. I mean, most years, like we said, we don't normally go that big on
right.
Thanksgiving because, you know, there's a floor for that, and we're lucky enough to become, you know, part of the fabric of that day in this country. It just becomes part of the ambiance, part of the event, part of the family, and the television's on. And the interesting thing about, you know, Dallas on Thanksgiving, that's almost always our most watched game every year, no matter what. Throughout the records, the Cowboys Thanksgiving game is almost always our most watched game of the season. Last year, that Bears-Lions game earlier in the day almost beat it. They got up to 50 million people watching by the end of that game when they missed the field goal
yeah.
at the very end. So
right.
that kind of tells you that what has become, you know, not just the fabric of the day, but also two really good teams, two really fun teams, now that Detroit is competitive again and fun and interesting. And so if you're going to go big with a KC-Dallas in the afternoon, you probably have to go big. It's only fair to Fox to go a little bit bigger into Detroit, and that's why you see Green Bay there. And then, to be fair to NBC, if you're going to do a Green Bay-Chicago, a Green Bay-Detroit and a KC-Dallas, you probably got to go pretty big at night as well, and that's why you see a Baltimore-Cincy there. So probably bigger than we've normally done on Thanksgiving, and yeah, I think we've got a real good shot at hopefully the biggest Thanksgiving day ever.
All right, you're so generous with your time. I'll finish it up with this. When it's all over every year, and I'll just ask you specifically about the last, you know, week and a half since the schedule came out. 2 weeks now. do you look at it and say, you know, I really wish we had gotten that thing that we were thinking about, but I'm really thrilled that this one kind of stuck. Is there a regret, and is there a, God, I'm so glad we got that one right when it's all said and done, specific to this year's schedule for you?
Yeah, look, bit of both. There's always that, you know, what could we have done differently? What worked out? What do we wish we could have changed? You know, wave a magic wand. Probably would have loved to have seen that Baltimore-Cincinnati Thanksgiving night game in Cincinnati. I think this will be 3 years or maybe 4 years in a row where we've played Cincy at Baltimore in prime time at night, maybe even on a short week. I'm not 100% sure about that, but certainly knew that going in. You know, again, wave a magic wand, probably would have loved to have played that game in Cincinnati, but like we were saying, you got teams playing multiple short weeks, and you can't play them both on the road, and we kind of like that Baltimore at Miami game for Amazon. It just felt like a good kind of ballast in the middle of their schedule. So once you put Baltimore at Miami on Amazon, you can't put Baltimore at Cincinnati on NBC on Thanksgiving night, and so trickle down from there. You know, wave a magic wand, I would have loved to have seen that game in Cincy. I think the Bengals deserve it, but they've got plenty of primetime games. You know, what do any of us know? It's the beauty of this sport, yeah. Right? It's 4 months until the season starts, eight until, you know, the games that decide the playoff spots are getting played. We're all just guessing, but did feel like we had 272 really strong quality assets this year. Felt like we could take some really good stuff off the top, go a little bit bigger in windows where we normally wouldn't, kick off Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas, and still have enough quality and depth left over to cover Sunday nights, Monday nights, CBS and Fox doubleheaders, Thursday nights, the late season Saturdays. It feels, in May, like a really good schedule, an opportunity for teams to really kind of earn the spots, earn the opportunity that they've got, and that includes Washington. I mean, we root for all 32 equally, but certainly the ones we're counting on for national television windows, rooting for them just a little bit more.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily Christmas morning, and there's so much information leading up to that actual full unveil. But man, when it comes out for some of us, and you know, geeks, I'm sure people will be saying as they're listening to this, but I love it, and you get to kind of look forward to this, you know, incredible 18-week journey, and kind of envision what it'll look like on certain days. I think you guys did a phenomenal job. It had to be harder. I mean, NFC East, NFC North, NFC East, AFC West. It just created so many alluring games, matchups.
Right? You can just look up and down the schedule, week 1 through 18. There's so much good stuff there. Let's hope it all plays out the way we envisioned. And I love that people care. I love that people want to talk about it. I mean, you've been doing this long enough. The schedule used to kind of come out under the cover of night, mid-April, like one Thursday. Oop, here it is. And nobody talked about it. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted to know how the sausage gets made. I love that people care now, obviously with you know, the extra scrutiny obviously comes, you know, armchair quarterbacks and a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, and it's a fun process to be a part of. It's a great project to get to participate in for the last couple of decades, and yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to see where we go from here, but glad this one's in the books, and honestly, I wish the season was starting tomorrow. Let's go.
Well, congrats. It looks great to me, Mike. I know how much hard work goes into it. Really appreciate you making time for us a month ago and today as well. Can't wait for the season, like you said, and hopefully we can do it again next year. Appreciate it.
You got it, my friend. Take care.
That was fascinating. Loved the insight from Mike North on the putting together of the NFL schedule. And we learned a couple of things that were definitely in play and something that was completely out of play for our team. I'll, you know, have a few thoughts and follow up when we come back. Also, we will get to what Saquon Barkley said just about a week and a half ago about his Eagles in 2024. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.